The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here at WLEW. Our guests today in the program are from Thumb Industries. We have Rondo Weisenbach, the Executive Director, and Yvonne Prill, Business and Community Outreach Coordinator. We'll be talking about Thumb Industries and about a fundraiser they've got coming up the very 1st of March. Thanks for being with us today, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, we're glad to be here.
Okay, first of all, give us a little background, Thumb Industries. We see the buildings, we see the thrift shop. What is Thumb Industries and how did it come about?
Well, for those of you who don't know, Thumb Industries is a vocational rehab organization, and we work to provide job opportunities for individuals with disabilities. We've been around since 1970, and actually our organization was started by a group of parents that wanted work available for their sons or daughters, and we have been off and running since. So.
And you have been around quite a while.
Yes, we have.
In one form or another.
Yes, we have.
You started off as the Sheltered Workshop. That went out of vogue, and you became Thumb Industries, And you've been doing this a long time to help people in the area with both physical and emotional challenges.
Yep. We've actually seen a lot of changes in our industry. If you would have visited us years ago, most individuals worked in-house, worked under our roof. But now the focus is having individuals in the community out working, whether it be at our thrift store, in our recycling center. We also have manufacturing, janitorial, and lawn services. And we also have placement services that if there are individuals that need help finding that job out in the community, that we can match them up to a job and we can provide them the support until they're successful. So a lot of changes that we've seen, and we'll probably see more in the future as well.
And like everybody else, it's always good to have a place, something you do, something, you know, a purpose to get up in the morning and do things.
Correct.
And that's pretty universal.
Mm-hmm. A lot of our individuals, they do have some significant barriers that maybe at this point they're not ready to work competitively at Kmart or Walmart, but we can provide them the training that hopefully one day they do have those skills to work out in that capacity, but if they can't, we also have jobs available within our organization for them to work at as well.
And what age ranges do you start incorporating into your services?
We work with individuals that are transitioning out of school. That could be someone as young as 18. And we have some individuals that are even in their 70s that they want to be productive. They have self-worth from going to work every day. They get socialization as well out of that. So we have some individuals that, you know, they work well into their 70s as well. So kind of a wide age range. It could be someone who's, you know, leaving the school system to someone who's a little bit older who wants to continue to work.
So it could be the school system, their local school, or, say, the learning center, or some other places that have specialized programs, and you're the next step.
Mm-hmm. And we may have some individuals that may need to come to us for training. Like I said, they may have maybe a little bit of significant disability where they would need to have that training. Maybe they've never worked at a job before. But some individuals just need a little extra help in, you know, going out, you know, helping with interviews. Maybe they need help writing a resume and just, you know, going out and finding those jobs. Sometimes it's tough. So our staff can help them do that, and we can support them to be successful in the job for however long they feel they need it or their employer feels they need it as well.
Are you a piece of the puzzle for the people you serve? I mean, you're basically focusing on the work end of it. If they need, you know, life skills, you know, how to live alone and care for themselves and pay, make sure the bills are paid, something else kicks in for that. You're more into the business part of it.
Correct. Yep. We focus on vocational training and employment. That's our focus.
About how many people, clients, do you serve?
Usually on an annual basis, we serve about 250, and that would be individuals living in both Huron and Sanilac County as well.
So you cover a wider range than just Huron County.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And do most people, you know, do you have to supply them some transit to get them there? I mean, are all these other considerations having to go into the mix?
Yep. If individuals are involved in our program, we do provide their transportation through Thumb Area Transit, or we would pick them up as well. And if an individual is placed in a job, then they would be responsible for their transportation to and from work.
Well, when you're in private business,
correct,
that's the way it goes. But yeah, it sounds like you're doing a great service for the community. The question comes down to, with most great services to the community, is how do you fund it?
We receive a lot of our funding through Medicaid. We also, through our contracts.
So Medicaid, even though it's not really a health-related thing, will help in their, I'm trying to think of the words here, their quality of life.
Yep, that is a benefit to Medicaid recipients, that vocational training, community supports. That is also a benefit that's covered through Medicaid.
But that doesn't cover it all.
No. We have our contracts as well through businesses that we work with. And a key thing that we're going to obviously talk about today is our fundraising efforts. And with, you know, state government, federal government, money is always getting tight and budgets shrink. You know, we are always looking for the support of the community through our fundraising efforts and our contracts to help supplement some of the costs that we may not receive through that state or federal funding.
Also, your local funding would be discretionary funds. You can spend it on what you need. A lot of times when you get state and federal funds, they're earmarked for certain things. You can't commingle funds and all that kind of stuff, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
this takes the Pinocchio part out of it. You're not being pulled hither and yon with strings from above. You can use this money targeted to what you need in particular for this area.
Correct, yeah.
Where we have more problems with, you know, being a rural area, you have further distances to travel where, you know, you might fill up all the slots you'd have available at Thumb Industries in a very small contained area down in the city.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. And a lot of the money that we raise, you know, we have vehicles that are going out every day, equipment, you know, our facilities that we constantly need to update. And a lot of the funding that we receive through our fundraising our fundraising efforts help support that.
Now, you've got the thrift shop, that's a big fundraiser for you, is it not?
Yeah.
That got so big you grew out of your old building and now you're uptown in the main part of the shopping area. How has that been going? Have you been getting a good turnout still? I was there like the first day or so and it's like, oh my gosh, you're filling the place.
Yeah, it's actually been great. A little bit slower now because of the weather. I think individuals, when you're stuck at home in the snow, not going out, but that is obviously one of our the pieces of our organization that really brings in a lot of funding to help support our program.
And your move out there also allowed you to expand what you can offer.
Yes.
Because I know earlier this year, I don't use it anymore. I got an iPad and I'm on the couch all the time. I donated my oak desk.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys came and picked it up, and you know, hopefully somebody else can use it. But, you know, you couldn't do that in your old store. You could barely walk down the aisles.
You're right. Yeah. We definitely could expand on our furniture that we can offer the community.
And people might not even think of that kind of stuff being there, but there's a lot. I was there when you had your open house with the grand opening. There were organs back there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about, you know, little keyboard things, full-fledged organs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things in there, and there's if your TV goes out and you can't afford one right away, you usually have a couple back there that might get them by. I mean, there's all kinds of things that might not be the way you think right off the bat, but a good place to start.
Yeah, what one individual may not need anymore can be someone else's treasure, and it's like a treasure hunt every day you go to the store. It's constantly changing merchandise, and you never know what you're going to find. So.
Well, good. Now, another thing is, in another building, not your main building on 142, but you've got one in town, is your recycling center. What do you recycle at this point, and how do people participate?
We recycle paper products such as cardboard, newspaper, junk mail, and we also do plastics number one and number two, and aluminum and tin. We do have a lot of individuals that recycle at home and bring their items into us. We've had to kind of scale back a little bit in our efforts. We were going out to about 180 businesses within Huron County, but just the price of gas and commodities have gone down to the point where we just weren't meeting our costs. So unfortunately, we had to kind of scale back. But we are, still open. We're encouraging individuals to still bring their commodities to us. We hope that they continue in the efforts because I think we've kept, over 5 million pounds?
That's correct.
Of materials out of our local landfill since we started in 2009, so we're pretty proud of that.
And the paper products are generally made into pellets for fuel, and so everything's getting shredded. You don't have to worry that somebody's actually going to see a document or something that you had. It goes into the big machine and comes mm-hmm. out in itty-bitty pieces and is compressed into the pellets that people use in wood stoves and such that are made for that.
Yep. We have, we offer shredding services, like you said, that if they have sensitive items that they want shredded, we will do that for them, as well as sending the commodities out to a broker that we work with that then it's recycled into, maybe another plastic bottle or laundry detergent bottle.
Or insulation. We have some of our material that is shredded and put in blown insulation and used in homes and businesses as well.
Yeah, you hear a lot about some of the deck boards now are basically recycled bottles and plastic that mixed with a little resin and maybe some wood powder or whatever, and here you've got a board.
Mm-hmm. And most importantly, one that you don't have to paint every year or restain every year.
They're very nice that way.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of things going on there, and again, people should just contact Thumb Industries if they want to participate and know when the hours are open, how to drop it off, where to drop it off, how you like it dropped off.
Yeah.
I mean, do you need it bundled? Do you need it in containers? Do you bring a container and get a container back so you can fill it and bring it back? All these types of things they can work out with you.
Yep. If someone's interested, they can call us at our main office, and we can give them all that information. We can supply them with barrels if they need barrels to keep, the commodities till they bring it in. We have, even if we're not open, we have a trailer available that is there after hours that individuals can still bring their commodities. Say they're getting off work at 6 o'clock and they want to drop it off on their way home. That trailer is going to be out front of our recycling center that they can drop it off there, even if someone's not there to accept it.
Terrific. And then you've got the main building. You've mm-hmm. got your little workshop in there, your manufacturing.
Yep.
So a lot of things going on with the industries.
Yep. We've pretty much diversified. Like we said, we work with a lot of companies, a lot of janitorial contracts that we have. We do lawns in the summer and spring. That we think it's important that you don't have all your eggs in one basket, that you diversify yourself. And if you kind of lose on one funding stream, that hopefully there's another funding stream that'll help you, kind of make it through until things pick up. So
could have made a killing if you had snow shoveling service.
Yes, definitely
you'd
this year.
You'd have more work than you could have handled.
Believe it or not, we do a little bit of snow shoveling. We shovel over at the Department of Human Services, and there's a couple of different businesses that we go out every morning, bright and early, to shovel off sidewalks before individuals go in there. So we do a little of that, but we don't have the big snow plows and different things like that. So
kind of the flip side of the lawn service for a lot of people.
Right.
The lawn service becomes snow service in the winter to have a year-round business. So
mm-hmm.
It just seems this year would have been money in the bank.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Now, how do you raise funds locally? You've got an event coming up. Is it just one of many, or is this your primary one?
This is our primary one. We do some raffles as well, but this is our major fundraiser, and this is kind of Yvonne's baby that she brought the idea to us, and it has just gone gangbusters, ever since. This will be our third year, and we're just really excited to continue.
And your event is?
Our event is Saturday, March 1st. It's going to be held at the Knights of Columbus Hall here in Bad Axe, and we're really excited about it. We've been working on it since the beginning of the year, and we're gearing up and getting ready for the races.
And we've danced all around it. What is the fundraiser called?
The fundraiser is our Camel Races.
Camel Races.
Camel Races. And when
As in out in the desert?
Kind of, sort of, on a local level.
On a local level.
On a local level. We obviously can't bring the desert here, but we can bring the camels here in one way, one form or another. What we basically have is a camel racing event with pyramidal betting on basically wooden camels. So basically what that is a night out at the races here in Bad Axe. If someone has ever done horse racing or dog racing, it's kind of on the same level, but, you know, locally here. We have wooden camels that businesses or individuals can sponsor. Those camels are then raced in heats of six, and individuals have an opportunity to bet on the camels. The pace of the race is done with oversized fuzzy dice, if you will. We have local community members who throw the dice for us. We'll have six camels in a heat.
Sounds like a huge board game.
So to speak,
yep. I'm thinking, are they on wheels? Do they race them downhill? Do they make it look like a dune? And down comes the camels, and the guy with the fastest camel wins? Or?
Well, you know, we actually have a track. We make a track out of tables, and our camels they're not on wheels for the most part. I think one was on wheels last year, but basically they're wooden silhouette camels, and we have camel movers. Our staff will actually move the camels as they race. On the way that works.
Oh, camel drivers.
Camel drivers. There you go. Camel movers, camel drivers. And our people who do the camel movers or moving, they actually want to do it every year because it's really a lot of fun.
But when you get the camel, you get to take it home for a while and bring it back blinged out.
That is exactly correct. We've been delivering camels throughout the community, and if you go around town, you might see a camel or two in someone's business window. Some are dressed, some are not yet. But individuals who sponsor a camel can, just like you said, take the camel and dress it any way they want to represent their business, a personal interest, you know, something funny, something crazy. People in our community are so creative. We've had so many different costumes, if you will, on our camels. Last year we had a camel on a Harley Davidson. We had a camel dressed as the bride. One year we had a camel in a backhoe.
Yeah.
Made out of cardboard. It was unfortunately so big that we couldn't actually put it on the track to race, but it was awesome.
Took four squares.
Yeah. It probably would have won without moving.
And camels that aren't camels, camels that turn into eagles or
bunnies.
I mean, it's hilarious.
David Hasselhoff was on a camel last year. Which people are just so creative.
Did it have a little red eye going back and forth in the front?
All I remember is his hand was up in the air and he was riding high on that camel. I didn't talk about how the pace of the race works. I started to touch on it. We have oversized dice that are thrown up against the wall. If a two and a four come up, then camel number two and camel number four advance a spot. If two threes are thrown, camel number three moves up two spots. So basically, the pace of the race is done with the dice, and the first camel to get to the finish line wins.
So you can have six in a heat.
Yep, we have six in a heat. That is correct. We have nine heats of racing, and then actually we have 10 heats of racing, nine individual heats, and then our camels that generated the most money, they are put in the final race, and then we crown the fastest camel out of that race.
So how do they generate the money? Is it, do you make the donation when you get the camel, or are you supposed to have people who are betting on your camel and whoever generates the most money that way? I mean,
it's a little bit of both, actually. People who want to sponsor a camel, we generate money that way. To sponsor a camel is $100. And then when you donate your $100, then you get the camel to decorate it. Also, the night of the event, individuals have an opportunity to bet on the camels. We have our races all set, so when individuals get there, we'll have a program. They know what camels are racing and what heat. We do betting on one race at a time. Individuals place their bets, and the way the bets are placed, odds will be calculated. So if you have camel number one through six bet on, camel number one has the most bets and camel number six has the least. Camel number six odds obviously are going to be higher than camel number one. So the race is then conducted, and with the winner, you know, at the end, individuals can go claim their winnings right away or at the end of the night. and they can, the money that they're bet on, that is bet on, obviously is kept. The winnings are then, you know, paid back if individuals so choose to claim it.
Or they can donate it.
They can donate it as well.
Which is always a nice thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you've got to know. You've got to know. One of them this year is going to be having on the side of it saying, go ahead, ask me what day it is. Go ahead, ask me what day it is. You've got to know one's coming in that way.
Yeah, that would be cute. That would definitely be cute. We're really excited about our event. It's a lot of fun. Another portion of fundraising through the Camel Race is our admission ticket. The night includes a dinner. Individuals who come to the race purchase an admission ticket. That admission ticket covers, obviously, the meal, and the rest is then part of the fundraising effort for the event. Tickets are $20 per person. And can still be purchased. Our event has been a sold-out event for the past 2 years. This is our third annual event. I can say that we are getting pretty close to being sold out. We have a few tickets left if individuals are interested, but we have well over 300 that are gone already. So,
really?
Yes. Yep.
You guys are just, you know, well, you know, first of all, you've got a great organization. People want to help it. And then you put on something fun that's unpredictable. Well, mm-hmm. What could you ask for?
Well, when Yvonne brought this idea, we all kind of thought, camel racing? You know, we kind of envisioned, how do you race camels? But it has just, I work there, obviously, and it is just, even if you're working, it is just a fun night. I mean, people are having fun, laughing. You know, it's just kind of the time of year where people are just, you know, they're tired of winter. And especially this winter has been exceptionally hard that, you know, we have cabin fever. And individuals, I mean, if they're looking for a night out that's, you know, a lot of fun, bring a lot of friends, just have an overall good time. I mean, this is just, it's something unique that doesn't happen anywhere else in our community. And individuals that have attended in the past, I mean, they look forward to it. And, you know, they're looking forward to it year after year. So
that was my goal when I brought it here. I wanted it to be something fun that everyone looked forward to. And, you know, I get people on the street all the time, you know, loved your camel races, can't wait for the next year. And it's a great time. We have lots of individuals who've come, you know, for the past 2 years and are coming again this year. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful for all the support that we get, the people who sponsor the camels, the people who come to the event and gamble, our businesses who actually donate prizes, door prizes and that kind of thing. We try to have the event be a fun event and then also have individuals leave home with, you know, prizes and gifts as well. So
even if your camel doesn't win, you still do have an opportunity to take something home. We have what we call loser drawings, but those are for the individuals who have bet on those camels, and that camel may not have won its heat, that they in turn could win a prize that's been donated from a local business. And we get nice packages. We get, you know, hotel stays, you know, dinners, you know, just gift certificates to different businesses. A lot of really nice prizes that have been donated. So even if your luck might not be, Lady Luck might not be
with you that evening,
you can still take something home.
Definitely.
I think you need to drop the loser part. Just call them winner challenge.
There we go.
Because we don't want a negative.
No. We aren't saying that individuals are losers, but obviously,
They're winning challenges.
Yes, you do get a chance that even if you're camel, if you didn't pick that right camel, you still do have a chance to get a prize.
Definitely do. And we also give prizes for the best dressed camel as well. We give everyone an opportunity to vote on their favorite camel. All the participants in the evening will get a ticket.
They start with the same basic wooden silhouette.
Yep, yes. They all start with
you can't really, you know, end up with some 4-foot-tall stuffed camel.
No.
You're starting off at the same point.
Mm-hmm. We ask that the camel be dressed within the limits of the base of the camel so that they're, you know, insured to fit on the track and stay in their little space.
Mm-hmm. And we're encouraging people to dress up, too. We also give a prize to the best-dressed individual or individuals that come to the event. you know, if they want to come in their derby attire. We've had individuals who dress up like sheiks and, you know, look like they're from Middle Eastern countries. So,
or other individuals who look like they're going to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
So it's just a little added excitement to add to the event, and people do partake in all that and
we
have a fun
dress
time.
Up as a society. Halloween has grown into one of our bigger holidays now. Mm-hmm. It used to be just for the kids going door to door, and now the adults are more into it than the kids.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But it is. It's a lot of fun.
Can I ask, how much did you raise last year? How big of a success is this?
After we paid out our expenses, we raised over $16,000 last
wow.
year. So, like we said, very, very successful fundraiser, and we want to see it continue.
All discretionary funds you can use in areas you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it stays local,
yep.
But it's you know, all these little loopholes in federal programs and state programs that you really need the funding for, but just can't because of the way the rules are written out.
Yeah, that's one thing we want the community to know, that with their donation and with their involvement in our fundraising event, that money stays local and it is reinvested in our program. So it stays here. You know, it stays in our local community to help individuals with disabilities that we serve.
Where is this held at?
It's going to be held at the Knights of Columbus Hall here in Bad Axe.
West to the town, out by the hospital there.
Yep, that
plenty
is correct.
Room,
plenty of room. We've got room for 400 people. Like I'd mentioned before, we're pushing the 350 mark of tickets sold, so we have a few left.
Do you give somebody, like, you know, a bad role of being the one who has to clean up after the camels, you know, like they do with the horses in the parade, you know?
We don't have that specific job carved out, but we could if you'd like to do that.
Oh, gee, I had to open my mouth.
I did want to let individuals know, and we mentioned the date, that being Saturday, March 1st. The doors do open at 5:30. Dinner is served at 6, and then post time is at 7 o'clock. So we'll have camel racing starting right at 7 and most likely going up through the 11 o'clock hour.
Wow, that's a lot of racing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, we have 10 heats of racing. So it's a good time.
And that's a Saturday night?
March 1st. And if there are individuals interested, we still have some camels. Last year we sold 54 camels. We're not there yet, so we have some capacity for more sponsors. So for camels, for tickets, and door prizes, even if individuals are interested in, you know, donating some sort of gift to give away.
You're lucky you went with the camels. If you went with groundhogs, you'd have to do weapons checks at the door this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. Definitely.
Well, I hope you get a good turnout. Again, there's still some slots available. People are interested. How do they contact you to become one of the people who will be racing a camel come that day?
They can call me directly. Again, my name is Yvonne Prill. You can call our main office at 269-9229, and my extension is 15.
Or just say the camel races, and they'll know, well,
you
know the camel race lady.
I've actually become known as the camel race lady. People see me walking down the road with camels in there. At first they were, you know, would kind of look at me kind of strange, like, what's that lady doing? Now I get a lot of waves and, oh, can't wait for the camel races. So a lot of good positive comments.
Have you ever had a camel?
No, I haven't.
No, we have not.
No, we had last year.
With the hunters around here, they might, you know, make it a,
no,
use
we didn't.
The Desert Storm paint on it or something.
We did have, one of them was dressed in army fatigues last year?
I think so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or the dress greens or blues or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have had a wide range of dressed camels.
Do you photograph these things? Are they
we
like
do.
On your website?
Yep, they definitely
some
are.
People have done
yep.
in the past? People might
yep.
get an idea of how
they could
the
go on our
be.
Website. We actually have information regarding the camel races on our website. It's www.thumbindustries.com. And we have taken pictures if individuals want some idea of, you know, okay, what do these camels look like, first of all, and how have they been decorated, that there are pictures on our website of past events that they could see, get some ideas of how some other businesses or individuals have decorated their camel.
It's so exciting, you know, working on this, you know, for several weeks. One of the most exciting or rewarding times for me is when the businesses, when we collect the camels or when businesses bring their dressed camels to us. We staff kind of congregate around the camel and go, oh my gosh, that's so cute, or what a unique idea. It's really neat to see the creativeness of individuals in the community.
And do they get to take their camels home with them at the end of the night, or do they come into somebody else's stable?
We usually take most of them home. We did have individuals, several individuals from last year who wanted to keep their camels, and if they were willing to sponsor the camel again this year, they were able to do that. They were displayed in their business windows, or maybe some just had some personal, you know, a closeness with their camel. They didn't want to part with it. They kept it.
Use grandma's priceless brooch on it. You might want it back.
Well, actually, what we do, that's one thing we do, if we bring the camels back, we'll undress the camels and make sure that all the clothing or anything that you put on the camel is returned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do. We do definitely make sure that that does happen. Because we do understand, like you said, it could be somebody's priceless brooch or, you know, sentimental hat or whatever.
Whatever's lucky.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
You have a luck charm, you're going to put that on the neck that camel to get you down to the finish line first.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely.
People make sure. They're superstitious.
Yes, we have definitely found that to be true.
Well, again, I wish you good luck. Your camel races are coming up Saturday, March the 1st. Still a few camels available. If you're interested, you can become a part of it this year. And every year, you might have to put in extra heats or something and make it an all-day affair if people are...
We would love to do that. If that were the case, we would be more than happy to make it an all-day affair.
Afternoon at the races, dinner, and then prime time at the races. See?
That would be all right.
We would be more than happy to do that.
You have to find out you're turning away people so that you know there's going to be a supply of people next year who are going to want to be a part of all of this. So,
exactly.
Let them know if you'd like to be a part, even if they're all taken up. Goes into the back of your brains as to, you know, we got more demand here than we've got camels.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I wish you good luck, and I hope you get another good year with fundraising out of it.
Well, we appreciate you having us.
Yep.
And if they have questions on camel races, on Thumb Industries, I'm sure that's all on your website, too.
Yep. And like Yvonne said, if they just want to call our main office, 989-269-9229, we can either give them information about the camel races, or we can direct them to the right service that they're possibly questioning or they have questions about.
Do people get referred to you, or do most people seek your services out for your normal Thumb industry services?
We have a lot of individuals that are referred to us.
I think the schools would do a lot of that.
Yep, we work with the schools here on Behavioral Health, Sanilac Community Health, Michigan Rehab. But we also have a lot of individuals who aren't quite sure where to go. So we have a lot of folks that stop in our office that maybe have some questions. Like I said, they don't know where to go, and we can always help direct them into what agency could possibly help them. So we do have individuals as well that stop in or call that want to refer themselves or question services that we could provide to them.
So you're not breaking new ground. You're not going to get these people weirded out. Why did you just show up here? You know, that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions, find out what might work for you or your loved one, and see what can come of it.
The way that we look at it, we're a community-based organization that there are individuals out there that they just don't know where to turn. And it's our responsibility that even if we can't provide a service to them, we want to make sure that we direct them to, you know, the proper agency that can help them. So we'll never turn anyone away.
And it also helps the family that, you know, your client is working, they can work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't have to worry about making sure there's somebody in the home to care and oversee and stuff, because, you know, all the families are looking for more income, and two-income households are more and more the norm, and they can be a big help.
Yeah, and definitely for those folks who are working, too, it gives them a sense of self-worth to get up in the morning, to go to work, and, you know, they're productive, and they give back to the community. You know, just in working and making money like all of us do, spending money at stores or going out to eat, going to movies. So it helps the economy when individuals work as well.
The only downside I can see is one more person trying to get in the bathroom. But you'll work that out.
Yep, we can work that out.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. And it's coming up on March the 1st, Camel Races, third annual for Thumb Industries. It's at the Bannack Knights of Columbus Hall. You need to call quickly if you want to get yourself involved, because the slots are filling up fast, 269-9229. And we hope you get a good turnout and a good profit again this year out of it.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been from Thumb Industries. We had Executive Director Rhonda Weisenbach and Yvonne Prill, the Business and Community here, Outreach Coordinator, and again, it's coming up March the 1st. Look at their website, give them a call, see if you can become involved in it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.